This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Six.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome to ENN.
On TV.
Ray Rowe.
Presented by D'Agostino & Associates, the injury firm, 888-24-LAW-24. Bite back. I'd like to start off tonight by saying good evening to Michael.
Everyone should have a little Michael K in them.
So much. There's so much to be made from that, Don. I'd also like to say good evening to Don.
Can't tell people to sit in the corner and not move.
And good evening to Don.
I never heard of Carson Wentz.
And good evening to Don.
The phones are whack.
And good evening to myself.
Oh. Peter Cook?
You miss an hour, you miss a lot. You miss 10 minutes, you miss a lot. You miss 5 minutes, you miss a lot. It's that kind of program, Michael.
It is a good program.
Hell of a program. Welcome to ENN. A lot to get to today. We've been all over the place. Of course, let's start with some really great news about Damar Hamlin. He has supposedly woken up. And there has been, quote, substantial improvement. Doctors at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center told the media that Hamlin is still in critical condition, but there's significant progress, but still more needed. His neurological condition appears to be intact, which is huge news. And they noted that he's unable to speak, but was able to communicate in writing, including asking whether the Bills won Monday's game against the Cincinnati Bengals.
This is never looked upon as good news, Peter, but I took it as such this morning. When I read a headline that said, doctors say it's too early to tell whether he'll ever be able to play again.
Oh, no. I would say that is good. And yeah. I don't know. I have a feeling in my heart he is going to play again.
I do too, but the fact is that you know that there's conversations about him playing again.
It's a good sign.
That's a very good sign.
There's no way around that. Did you see everyone tweeting the story that he said what happened in the game, and they who won the game, and they said you won at the game of life,
the most important game.
Do you guys believe that? Is that a real story? You mean the doctors really wrote that?
No, they said it to him. He can hear. He wrote down who won.
And they said,
you won the game of life.
I don't know. It felt like a little bit of a fairy tale that everyone was excited to post.
Oh, my goodness. The doctor said it. Don't you believe in science?
I know, but
hold on. It's not science. It's a story being told.
If Hamlin was like, guys, I won it. Did we win or not?
Yeah, no. You know? He's like, yeah, I get it. I won it the game of life. Did we win?
Yeah.
Now, such good news, though. Tremendous to hear that. Zach Taylor's wife. Of course, Taylor, being the coach of the Bengals, has been gathering well wishes for Damar Hamlin from Cincinnati, because the Cincinnati outpouring of support has been incredible, including a large effort from Sarah Taylor. Pretty cool stuff there. Now, the Bills are reportedly ready to play the Patriots on Sunday. Josh Allen and Sean McDermott both said they're ready to go for Sunday's game against the Patriots. Now, of course, we have also learned that the game postponed game for Monday will not be continued. That game is done. It will be so. We assume, guys, that it will just be stricken from the record. Correct?
Yeah.
I mean, they could say it was a tie. I guess that doesn't impact anything. I don't think.
I guess the stats count, right? But
yeah,
there will be no final to that game.
So now the question remains, what will happen in a way that everyone determines to be equitable? We have heard from Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk that the solution could be, and certainly this is the sexiest solution, extending the playoffs and having an eighth team make it, which of course would impact locally your New York Jets, who now would all of a sudden be playing a meaningful game on Sunday. and my Washington Commanders, who would now be playing a meaningful game against the Cowboys with an opportunity to get that eighth spot. Will that be the case, guys? It seems like we'd have to find that out by early tomorrow if it's a realistic possibility. Otherwise, the guys, it seems the other option would be a neutral site AFC championship game.
Yeah, you know, it's weird that you commit to that. Let's say that Kansas City and Buffalo is knocked off before the AFC championship game. So why would you take away a game from another AFC team that would be at home? You can't just lock into a neutral site game. The only way that you can argue a neutral site game should be played
is if it's Buffalo and Cincinnati.
If it's Buffalo, if it's Buffalo and Kansas City.
Kansas City. Sorry.
So, I mean, if it's not them, why are you taking away a home game from a team that earned it? I mean, it's a messy thing. It really is. That's why going with the eight is probably the best thing to do. And
yeah, you make a good point, Michael. Because you wouldn't have to play the neutral site if Kansas City and Buffalo's eliminated, right?
Right.
Can you secure a venue and then just tell them, listen, we may need you, we may not need you? I'm sure you can. You're the NFL. But it just seems like there's a lot of heavy lifting. The more exciting thing to do is make the more meaningful regular season games in Week 18 and then give the team that doesn't have the bye the chance to play the absolute worst playoff team. It would be the worst playoff team in the history of football, right? Because we've never gotten this deep. Eight seeds might be a team that's under 500, likely a team that's under 500. But what I find interesting is, let's say Buffalo ends up being the de facto one seed, right? And they get the Jets as a draw. Like, I don't know what state the Jets are in right now, but the Jets beat them earlier in the season, almost beat them the second time. I mean, if I'm Buffalo, I'm like, I got to play this team again? I thought we were done with them. But the Jets were in a much better place then than they are now.
Yeah, we don't know who the Jet quarterback is now.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
By the way, the organist in Montreal, not annoying at all. Not annoying. I can see why you love that city.
Well, I mean, it's just so you just don't like organ music.
I've always hated organ music.
Well, that's fine. I mean, but it's not the only place where there's organ music.
Yeah, but it's constant. They have not stopped.
They're
an announcement out. Or something. Practice the national anthem. Stop.
Well, the game starts at 7 o'clock right here on our airwaves. Pre-game starting at 6:30.
Ray Rowe.
They're obviously getting ready. Like, there are already people walking in the building, right, Don?
Yeah, there are people sitting there in their seats enjoying some nice organ music before the game starts. Like, they play organ music at Yankee Stadium.
No, not that much. And then some poutine they're having, too.
Oh, right? I love poutine. And by the way, best bagel in the world in Montreal.
No way. What?
Number one. My favorite bagel I ever had. Montreal.
You know what? You both of you are hacks. I work with hacks.
Let Peter cook. Look up Montreal bagels. Trust me.
Whack. And of course, these are the famous hot dogs I'm holding up here that I can't wait to eat once I'm done.
Oh,
world famous. Nice toasted bun there. Great.
Shove that glizzy right down.
Why don't you just eat it right now, Don?
Yeah. We all want the visuals.
I heard how you reacted just to the sound of ice the other day.
It's great. So, you don't think eating a dog would play well with Michael? Let's play something. Actually, you know what, Don? I'm going to give you – this is a long clip. So I'm going to give you time to take a bite of that glizzy. Here is Dave Rothenberg this morning. I have not heard this yet. I hope I don't get upset. Dave Rothenberg ripping my fandom on DiPietro and Rothenberg.
He's such a fan that he couldn't even put on an Islander shirt.
Right. Well, no, I get it. Listen, I got to defend my
guy. You get one team. But he's such a Rangers fan that he couldn't put on an Islanders jersey. That right there defines everything you need to know about Rosenberg. He's the biggest fraud fan that walks the face of the earth. Yes, when you're a Rangers fan, yes, in your DNA, you can't stand the Islanders. I would never root for and or put on an Islanders jersey. And in the note they sent me, Rick, they knew that this could happen. They said, we're trying to sway you over because they know I'm a Rangers fan. So this, stop it.
This sets you off.
Yeah, because it's disgusting. Who does he root for? Is he like Penguins.
Penguins.
And Celtics. Celtics. So as a Celtics fan, would you wear a Lakers jersey? You know what? You probably would. And that defines the difference between
would
me and
have.
You. You're a fraud. You're a hip-hop fraud. That's who you are.
What'd you call me?
He's a hip-hop fraud.
Hip-hop fraud.
Hip-hop fraud is what he is. I'm a fan. I care. He doesn't care.
You know what's amazing, though, Peter? I'm going to give you ammunition. You
go
ready?
Ahead. Please feed me.
I can't put on an Islander jersey, right? But he'll ride the coattails of a former Islander player to
I said
to
that
get
yesterday.
A big job.
I said that yesterday. Show me something.
I didn't hear you say that.
No, no. Show me something. Have Rick removed and make Henrik Lundqvist your partner. Show me something. But as far as I can tell, you're sitting there riding the coattails of an Islander. Now, let me just say to be clear, because Dave didn't hear my audio in full. He cut it off. He was so busy screaming like a madman. I'm not saying that I don't understand the logic of not wanting to wear a team who you don't root for, a team that you dislike, not wanting to wear their jersey. I get it. What I'm saying is, as an adult, I only have time to have an obsession with one team. I'm being honest. I'm obsessed with the Commanders. I would not wear a Cowboys jersey. Yes, I would not. I would not wear an Eagles jersey. I wouldn't wear really any football jersey. I get it. Would I wear a Lakers jersey? I have a Kobe jersey. I own one.
Please feed me.
The Commanders get that for me. That's all. That's it. And by the way, I wouldn't wear another college jersey either because, you know, I went to Maryland. I know Dave, what about fraud? Dave doesn't root for the college he went to. He roots for another random college in another part of the world.
Which I never did.
He roots for Georgetown, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. Did he go there?
No, he couldn't get into Georgetown.
I never understood that. We can argue that another day. But here's the problem I have with Dave.
So
I get not wearing the jersey. But the co-owner of the New York Islanders sent you an authentic jersey, personalized, and then sends a personal note. And you just leave it at the studio? Like, you can't bring it home? It's not a nice memento to say, hey, listen, I do a talk show, and one of the local teams gave me a jersey, like, to keep it. I understand not to wear it or celebrate, but you just leave it draped on the chair like it, nobody care, like what? Like what? A discarded tissue?
No, Don, you don't know this part. I put on the jersey, as you remember.
Yes.
And Dave texted me and said, keep it.
Let me ask
Shove
you a question,
that glizzy
Don.
Right down.
What would happen if the Jets sent him a jersey? You know, a Rothenberg on the back.
You burn it.
And the powers that be say either you put on that jersey or you're fired.
Oh, he'd walk.
He would walk.
Well, then he's a lunatic. How's he going to pay the mortgage?
But Don, so here's my question. How close are the Rangers to the Giants for his fandom? He's that obsessed?
Well, I think he's obsessed about all the teams that he roots for, but clearly the Giants are one. But he treats all the same. Like, he would never wear a Yankee jersey, would never wear an Islander jersey. But the Rangers and the Knicks and the Mets, I think, are a distant second, third, and fourth to the Rangers. The Giants had won. He's made that clear. Remember, he said on the air that he would take one Giant championship over five Met World Series.
And he also thinks that John Mara is going to go to his funeral. Not a chance.
Not a chance. Because John Mara wrote him back. But John Mara writes everybody back.
Right.
If Peter wrote him a note, he'd write back.
You think John Mara's going to go to all 80,000 Giants season ticket holders' funerals? You're just another fan, that's all.
What a schedule. Can you imagine?
But don't be a bummer.
How many funerals
you don't even
today?
Get rid of the jersey. That was nice of John Ledecky to do that. And then to personalize a note to him, I know you're a Ranger. Come on, there's a lot of people in this business that work really hard that don't get noticed like that. Take it for granted. Appreciate it. Don't have to wear the jersey, but appreciate the gift.
If it wasn't for DiPietro, we wouldn't have a job in this industry.
Well, I don't know that.
Let's be honest. DiPietro carries the whole show.
Rick.
Come on.
I mean, that might.
Wait a second. He was working before Rick, but he's now got a morning show
because
of Rick DiPietro.
An Islander.
Not a Ranger. Islander.
Let's real quick, let's hear the audio also, Don. They got into the idea, apparently, of Dave and Rick fighting Don and myself in a tag team match.
Here's what has to happen.
Is that me and you versus Don and Peter, no holds barred.
Don could probably kill me.
That's fine.
But I could destroy Peter. But exactly he, right. Why does it always come to fighting?
Listen, if no that's holds what they want, if that's what they want, we'll give them what they want.
Don't you look at us as Renaissance men? Why do we want to fight these people?
Because if we have to, if pushed to a certain point, I think we have to defend ourselves. And if that's what's going to happen, it's what's going to happen.
Here's what could happen. I could eliminate Peter immediately, and then I can like hold on to Don's legs so you can beat him up.
We'll wear him out. There's no chance he can last more. Like, his crazy lasts probably 30 seconds. He's gassed.
If that.
I mean, you're talking about a guy who only he makes love on anniversaries.
Once a year.
He's got no stamina.
You wouldn't think once a year he would.
What kind of fight is
RJ
this?
And we can spin him on his head like Dink, you know what I mean? Like a Dink and Doink.
What did I do?
Do you want to help or not?
Wow. That's deep.
How long do you think most fist fights last?
Yeah, that's the thing. See, spoken by people who've never been near a fist fight.
I'm just very upset, Peter, at the disrespect level toward you. I mean, they look at you as not even a speed bump.
I mean, listen. Everyone listening to this show who's ever really dialed into both shows, you know, the members of the company, the lunatic fringe that follows their show, and everyone who listens, you guys have watched the athletic competition. Don't forget, we had an entire multi-event athletic competition between myself and Dave Rothenberg. Guys, who won?
You.
Easily.
And we've seen Dave throw a baseball.
And you've seen Dave throw a baseball, correct?
Yes.
We've seen him swing a bat. It's
ugly. I can't unsee it.
You can't unsee it. When Dave plays softball, it's so bad, you go, ugh, I want to see Ray Santiago play softball. You know what I mean? And that's a bad sign.
I mean, right. that whole morning show, other than Rick, not very athletic.
Well, Rick's a hell of a softball player. I think RJ's probably decently athletic.
Meh.
You got some size issues, but that can be overcome.
Said Andre the Giant.
Well, hold on. There are not few people I'm allowed to boast about being taller than, but RJ is in that limited group.
Right.
He's a dad-to-be. Let him be.
He is a dad-to-be. That's amazing. I'm incredibly thrilled for him, but I'm Dennis Rodman next to the man.
But how many dads are going to be able to shop in the same store as the kid?
That's not nice.
That's not right. That's not right.
Do you think I forget that he left this show? Do you think I forget that?
No, you can't forget.
And I'll never forget.
And to think now you're going to follow in his footsteps.
Wow.
Guys,
tying it all together.
New York.
Guys, Vince McMahon put out a statement today saying he's taking steps to return to World Wrestling Entertainment as executive chairman.
Oh boy.
What it sounds like if you read the article in the Wall Street Journal is almost like, Michael, maybe you understood it better than I did. I'm no business mind.
No.
But almost like he's petitioning to the board to come back with his former co-presidents to take over again, right?
I guess. I just picture him walking back into the offices like when he walks into the ring. With
you have the music
singing.
There?
I love that. The place would go crazy.
Now, you mean the fan base if it played out on television?
Oh, yeah. I don't think the front office would be thrilled.
Yes, he wrote in his statement, WWE is entering a critical juncture in its history with the upcoming media rights negotiations coinciding with increased industry-wide demand for quality content and live events, with more companies seeking to own intellectual property on their platforms. The only way for WWE to fully capitalize on this opportunity is for me to return as executive chairman. There you go. And support the management team in the negotiations for our media rights, and to combine that with a review of strategic alternatives. My return will allow WWE, as well as any transaction counterparties, to engage in these processes.
I've also heard from sources that if he does regain control,
I'm out.
Making you the lead guy.
Who would be?
You.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, lead guy.
You know what?
He loves you.
I have to look into that and see if it's true. That'll do it for ENN, presented by D'Agostino & Associates, the injury firm. Almost 35 years of getting accident victims every dollar they deserve. Offices throughout New York and New Jersey, 888-24-LAW-24. D'Agostino, bite back.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.